This podcast is brought to you by Northern Motor Group. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
The Asian Champions League continues tonight and tomorrow night, the round of 16 in action. And to take us through a couple of those games is a columnist for K-League United, our friends over in South Korea, Matthew Binns, who joins us now. Matthew, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. The games we're discussing in particular, tomorrow night's fixtures, Euro Reds taking on Ulsan Hyundai and Shanghai SIPG taking on Jeonbuk. Those two, Jeonbuk and Ulsan, the top two in the K-League at the moment, which, you know, isn't always the case. It isn't always the case that the sides that are still in the Champions League, you know, can maintain their success from the previous year's qualification and also domestically once you actually get around to the crunch matches next time.
Especially Ulsan in this case. Ulsan are notorious for not being able to balance domestic commitments and the Champions League, but this year they've strengthened well in the off-season and they're holding their own. They're second only on goals scored. It's one of the K-League's fewer flaws, if you prefer, that they use goals scored instead of goal difference. And Ulsan, yeah, they're doing very well. They've really strengthened the spine this time. They've increased their depth. They've got some good backups in over the winter, and it's working out for them.
Jeonbuk in particular, you know, excite me. They seem to have a lot of attacking players at their disposal, but you know, how many of those players are actually in their squad for the Champions League? Because I know the foreign player restrictions will make it a little bit tougher for them.
Jeonbuk's squad, there tend to be a lot of rotation, especially recently. The last game saw quite a lot of players rested ahead of this match. Jeonbuk are still managing to perform well, though, on the domestic front. Their key players, though, will likely all be playing. Their foreign players will only probably be Ricardo Lopez. I know they do have Bernie Ibany, but he has been coming back from injury since the beginning of the season. I don't know whether he'll be quite fit for this midweek fixture. They also have Adriano, who was the top scorer in the competition a few seasons ago, but sadly he's out for the season. So despite having some strong foreign talent, they will only be playing one of their foreign players, I think, in this match.
So does that mean with the injury problems that Kim Shin-wook, the giant Korean target man, might be given a run in this game?
I'd hope so, and I wouldn't usually say that because he is both a man that he infuriates me, but he also amazes me as well at times. He's a bit of an enigma. But I think in this game, he's perfectly suited for it. Now, Jeonbuk only seems to have two fit strikers at the moment. They've got Lee Dong-guk, who is the 40-year-old veteran who still performs season upon season and performs miracles. But Kim Shin-wook seems better suited at the moment for this particular game. There's a number of reasons for that. I think First and foremost, Kim Shin-wook is in good domestic form this season. He's scored 8 goals. He's got 3 assists. He's also not doing too bad in this competition with 3 goals and an assist. But also, Shanghai have got quite poor stats when it comes to aerial duels. And I think that just screams, bring on a towering striker and see what havoc he can cause in that penalty area.
It was a theme at the last World Cup in Russia with Kim Shin-wook starting up front for South Korea. They tended to play football that was totally unsuited to him and try and play on the counter-attack, and then they'd substitute him off and then proceed to lump long balls into the penalty area, which, I mean, it was bizarre. But, you know, he seems to be a bit of a polarising figure.
Yeah, definitely. It doesn't help as well that last year he was the most expensive paid player in the K-League, which when you judge it with the goals he scores, it doesn't really add up of what you're really getting for your money. But he fits into the Jeonbuk system quite well. He's not paid to score as much, but more assist and bring other players into play. Jeonbuk have a very strong midfield, and they'll be boasting another strong midfield on Wednesday night with Lopez, Moon Sung-min, who was last year's top Korean scorer in the K-League. They've got Lee Sung-gi, who has 4 assists in this competition and looks quite good this year. And they've also got Son Jun-ho, who a couple of seasons ago, he was the top assist maker in the league. So it's more about bringing players into play rather than relying on him to get the goals.
And coming up against Shanghai SIPG, obviously we all know about Hulk and Oscar and the threat that they pose, but it's one thing identifying it and another thing stopping it. Do you see their defence holding up, especially away from home?
Well, John Book's defence is mostly made up of Korean internationals. If you go across the back, you've got Kim Jin-soo on the left. He's got experience at Hoffenheim in the Bundesliga, and he's still South Korea's first-choice left-back. On the right-back, they've got Korea's first-choice as well, which is Lee Yong, and they're both expected to start. Kim Jin-soo was suspended at the weekend, so he's fresh, and Lee Yong was rested as well. In the centre, they've got Hong Dong-ho, who is a former Korean international, and they've got another player called Kim Min-hyuk, who was one of those players that was always on the fringe of getting a call-up, but he never quite made it. It's a very strong defence. It's taken a while for them to get used to each other this season, because last year they had Kim Min-jae, who was a standout player, and he's become a star on the international stage. But Kim Min-jae moved to Beijing Guoan in the winter, and Kim Min-hyuk's taken a while to fit in, but slowly but surely, this defence is looking more and more assured with each passing week.
Well, moving our attention to Ulsan, Mix Diskerud is the man that most people have their eye on. The American international seems to have been in pretty fine form this season.
Yeah, he arrived last season in the summer on loan from Manchester City, but I wouldn't be surprised if your listeners haven't heard of him in that sense. He never made an appearance for the Premier League champions. But he is... he's been a very, very good player this year. He's had some eye-catching moves and off-the-ball movement. But he's also quite good at scoring as well. He's bagged a few goals this season. And, yeah, he's looked really good. And he's possibly going to be leaving in the summer. Ulsan fans are begging him to stay, holding up banners at the end of matches in recent weeks, just wanting to extend his loan at the club.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's been such a positive acquisition for them. I did see a bit of Ulsan in the when they play against, I think it was Sydney SC earlier on in the season. It seemed the defense was quite solid, but they seemed to struggle a little bit to score in Asia. They seemed to find their scoring boots, you know, as the group stage went along. Do you think, you know, they'll be planning on attacking Urawa or letting Urawa come to them?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Ulsan actually haven't won in their last seven away games in the Asian Champions League. But that doesn't mean they haven't been losing either. They've managed to draw five of those. And their manager, Kim Do-hun, he's got a bit of a reputation for playing negative football when the occasion demands it. Mm. I think we can expect them to be sitting back and look to pick off who are on the counter, which would kind of fit into their style of play anyway. They are quite a counter-attacking team. They're also quite strong at home. They've won all three games at home without conceding in this competition, and I'd imagine they'd like to just make sure the second leg is alive and try to win it there.
Well, both teams playing away from home, I guess a draw would be a good result. Could I get a prediction for you from you for each game before we let you go, Matthew?
I'll say 1-1 for both games. I think neither team will go all out because they both know that in Jeonju and in Ulsan respectively, they are far stronger than they are on the road.
Well, Matthew, thank you so much for joining us on Evenings on FNR. Those games kicking off at 8:30. That's Urara Ulsan tomorrow night, Australian Eastern Standard Time, and 10 p.m. for Shanghai SIPG versus John Book with the return legs the following week. And for more information, you can go on over to kleagueunited.com. We're also going to be replaying one of the podcasts, the preview podcast for these ACL games and the K-League marquee matches, which will be replayed just after the show finishes in about 10 minutes. So stick around on FNR Football Nation Radio for that. But Matthew Binns, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.